Now, you know, I like to have fun up here, so we're gonna have some fun today. Jimmy, I love you. I need you to zoom in on me. Can you zoom in on me? Hello to everyone at home, by the way. I didn't give you a proper hello. Can everyone see this at home? Well, at home. I want you to look at this image, and I'm gonna walk around with this, and I want you to tell me what you think it is. So if you're at home, type it in the chat, what you think this is, and I'm gonna walk around right now. I want you to look at this image, and I want you to tell me what it is. Not yet. Yep. Yep. People are like, what? What are you doing, Richard? But it's very important, and I wanna make a point. The confusion that Tad has on his face is legendary. I love it. It's like, what on earth is this? But it has a point. Take a look at it. Think about what it can be. I'll even let you look at it, Jimmy. Because everything comes from somewhere, right? Everything comes from somewhere. Everyone's like, what is this? It's okay, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. For the people at home, I'm still walking around. I'll be done in a second. But I wanted to show this to people exactly. Oh, Bruce put on his glasses. Bruce is like, I really got to see. Well, the picture's kind of grainy. I'll come around to the middle. But yes, take a look at this and tell me what you think it is. Come up to the middle. Richard's just wasting time, right? Richard's not even prepared today. Take a look. Julie has, oh, glasses. Yeah? Jeannie's still puzzled. Yep. Okay. Show of hands right now. Who has no clue what this is? Who wants to venture a guess as to what it is? I'll allow three guesses. Who's brave enough to guess? A torso. Interesting. Interesting. A coffee stain. Maybe a milk stain. It looks like a body. Interesting. Something marble. Cat scan. Gravestone. Oh, Lord. Anyone give up? This is this. I knew the art person would probably know. That's Julie. Yes. From this came this. Which means that from seemingly nothing can come something. Dang, you should get up and preach. A masterpiece, something special. In verse 2 of the creation story, it says that the earth was formless and void. Some translations say it was chaos. And from that chaos, from nothing, came this. We're created in God's image and likeness. The first trait that we see of God is creator. And since God is creator, we are creators, which means that we have the power to create our lives. We have the power to mold. We have the power to shape. We have the power to carve out a life that's special and unique, right? I want to give you, I'm giving you pictures and I'm giving you facts. Here's a fun fact. Genesis chapter 1 is widely believed by Christians to be the first thing ever written in the Bible. That is completely incorrect. The creation story was not written until the time of exile, which means that Israel had already lived and laughed and loved, had gone from Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the 12 tribes, united, torn down, exile. So Genesis 1 is not the first thing ever written in the Bible. So why was Genesis 1 written? Genesis 1 was written right around when the people are leaving exile and going back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, at this time, after being torn down and conquered and destroyed and inhabited by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, looks like this. They go to nothing. They're going home to disorder. They're going home to chaos. But they have to do the work of going from nothing to something. And they needed an understanding of the God they served. So from that understanding came the creation story. Because the people needed to know that God does not exist as a God of chaos, but God exists as a God of order. Now, if you look at the creation story, it shows a blueprint to the good life, right? Everyone comes to a minister and says, well, what's the good life? And some people come to me, hey, Richard, how do I live abundantly? And if you look at the creation story, it's more than just the 6 days. It's more than just all the wonderful things. It's a blueprint for how to live the good life. What do I mean by that? The first thing that every good life needs is order, right? When you read verse 3, what does God do? God begins the work of putting everything in its place. Because God is not a God of disorder, God is a God of order. So the waters have to be separated. Light has to happen. The earth has to be made. All of these things have to be put in their place. And if you think about now how the earth works, while we study it, I mean, we still have no clue like how large a star is and how come the sun warms us and can't warm Mars. Everything is intelligently designed. So to have a great life, you first thing you have to have is order. So the question for us is, are our lives ordered? And I do not mean in the OCD way where all your cans face one way and your bathroom doesn't have a lick of dust on it and you mop your floor 3 times a day. Is your life ordered? Is it structured? Do you know what your priorities are? Do you know what's important to you? Do you know what people need you to be? Do you know how to go about life so that not only you're fulfilled, but the people around you are fulfilled? Your family, your friends, your students, the people you go to church with. Is it ordered? Because if it's not ordered, it descends into chaos. And the second chaos comes, problems come. So the first thing that we need to have is order. So think about your life and the structure of your life. Think about how your life works. Think about if you forget stuff all the time, or if you're not there for people when you need them to be. It's important for everything to have its place. And I'll talk more about that later. So order is the first thing. The second thing, the second blueprint item to carve out a good life is you have to have fruitfulness. And what do I mean by fruitfulness? Well, after everything is pretty much ordered, what happens next? Plants, vegetation, fruit, all of these things are provided. And as we remember from early biology, sorry, I gotta walk around again. I just like to walk. Why are plants around? Somebody tell me why plants are around. Give us oxygen. But Bruce, there are no people. Why do we need oxygen? Why do we need fruit when there are no people? Or no animals? Anybody have a thought? Ah, gold star, Miss Baloo. It's part of the order. One day, there wouldn't need to be a people, and there would need things who would benefit from this fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is not just for those living things, but fruitfulness is how we relate to one another. As a father, if I am a terrible father, I'm not growing good children. If I'm a pastor who's terrible, I'm not helping God grow people who make other disciples. If I have a circle of friends, which I do, and I'm not the one who can be honest, I'm not the one who can help them, I'm not the one who can show them something different, then we're not fruitful, we're dead. Is your life fruitful? Do people in your circle, in your orbit, do they benefit from you? Do you show them things? Do you introduce them to things? Are you the one who can say, hey, you probably shouldn't do that? The good life is not personal. We have gotten to a place where everything is about us, our individual salvation, our individual happiness, or only the people who are like-minded like us. But plants and vegetation were out throughout the whole earth, because one day people far away from us would benefit from who we are and what we do. So is your life fruitful? So order and fruitfulness. And the last one is pretty self-explanatory, but it's the hardest one. Do you have life? Right? Because after all the plants and the vegetation came the fish and the birds and the animals and lastly the people. Life. Yes, you're alive, I'm alive. Yes, we have a pulse. Yes, we have a heartbeat. Yes. But I'm not talking about life as in breathing. I'm talking about being alive. What makes you come alive today? Are you alive today? Yeah, I'm breathing, Richard. Yeah, so am I. But are you alive? Do you have passions? Do you have pursuits? Do you have things that make you feel special? Do you have people in your life who make you feel special? Is life just a Groundhog Day, get up, hit the floor, brush my teeth, shower, go there, and that's it? Because that's not abundant life. Your life is not a masterpiece like that. Your life is probably more like this. And if you notice one, this one is already carved a little bit. Like, oh, here's a couple chips here. That's the person who's not alive, who doesn't experience the fullness of life. Again, God gives us the power to create our lives, which means we have the power to say what makes us alive. And we have the power to mold our existence into these places of order, these places of fruitfulness, and these places of vitality. We have a lot of people in here who are over a certain age, and they always tell me, Richard, I'm old. I'm older. And I say, well, you're still alive. Look at Jeannie. Sorry, Jeannie, I gotta use you. A couple weeks ago, Jeannie said she's vibrant. Because Jeannie gets up and she walks. Jeannie runs around, spends her time with toddlers. And Jeannie does not wait for life to come at her. One of the things I love about Jeannie is she takes life. She goes and she attacks life. And that's what keeps her young, am I right? See? I have lived, I would say maybe 3 years ago, right before I got here. This is so sad to say. I was at Chuck E. Cheese. God, listen. It's the sixth ring of hell, Chuck E. Cheese, on a Saturday. But I'm sitting at Chuck E. Cheese, You know, the boys are playing, having a good time, and Rose is watching them, and I'm at the table, like, waiting for the food to come, because last time we, like, never mind, it's another story in itself. But I sat there, and I felt so lost. I was like, is this my life right now? I had no hobbies. I had no fun. My whole life was centered on making my kids happy. And that was the wrong move. So one kid is beating up Chucky over here, and another kid is trying to steal tickets over here, and my kids are running around like they're crazy. And I said, there's got to be more to life than this. That's not fruitful. So I had to make the steps to put my life in order. And I realized, well, if I spend a couple of hours away from my kids, I'm okay. They'll live, and so will I, for the first time in forever. Frozen reference. But the idea is, when we look at the creation story, it's meant to inspire a people whose lives are not the way they envisioned it, and to remind them that God has something bigger and better for us. But we have the power to take control of it. So you have the ability to create your own masterpiece. What things do you have to put in order? And what ways can you be more fruitful? What makes you come alive? These are the questions I hope that you ask yourselves. But I want to put one more caveat into this. If you read what happens during the days, right? Two things are happening while God is creating. God is illuminating and God is separating, right? Let there be light. The brighter star is the sun. The lesser star is the moon. And there are other stars in the sky. God is always shedding light on things. Because in darkness, it's impossible to see the work that you're creating. Who creates in darkness? Nobody. Right, Julie? I mean, Michelangelo doesn't, like, carve David in the dark. He can't see what he's doing. There's no direction in the darkness. So we have to illuminate the places in our lives that need that order, that need that fruitfulness and that vitality. But also, here comes the bad part. You know, with Richard, there's always got to be a bad part. Separation has to occur, right? We separated the water from the water. We separated the earth from the water. We separated the water from the sky. Separation has to occur sometimes, which means the things that are unfruitful, the things that are causing us death, the things that in our lives that are bringing us disorder and chaos, have to be separated from our lives. That a lack of faith has to be separated. Bad habits have to be separated. People always whispering in your ear and telling you bad stuff have to be separated. Because the goal is the masterpiece. So we have to think about the places and the spaces and the people who cause us to not live these lives that we need so much. And we have to make sure that we separate them. So creativity demands our work. We have the power. If you're upset at your life, you have the power to change it. Excuse me. Oh, Lord, that's terrible. You have the power to make yourself happy. You don't like your job, you have the power. It's called filling out a job application, called prayer, it's called asking God for direction. All of these things are possible for us. But we can't sit around and just pray and think that God's going to do it. We are the hands and feet of God, so we have to make those moves. Okay? But The last thing I'll say. What's good? Right? What's good? If I said, hey, Chris, what's good? No? Life is good? Okay. Well, the term good, what does good mean? Huh? Satisfaction. Okay. Let me ask you this, Ms. Mabel. Do you think that your level of satisfaction and my level of satisfaction are the same? No. Right? So good is relative to people. Right? So if you come to my house right now, the first floor of my house is a complete mess. You know why? Because the kids were home. Gabriel's birthday was on Friday. He's still living it up. He's Paris Hilton. His birthday's a week now. So my house is not tidy. Now, I know some people in here are super tidy people. I'm not going to look in this direction. But if you walk into my house and you may see some wrapping here, you may see a Nerf gun here, you may see some stuff, you may say, oh my God, what kind of life is that? But to me, we're good. Right? So goodness is contextual to the individual, which means that Bruce can't come to me and tell me what's good for me, and nor can I go tell Bruce what's good for him. We know what's good for us. You look around the world today, everything is so bad. Oh, people are so bad. Oh, climate change is so bad. And these things are bad. To some, not as big a deal to others, right? The understanding is every living thing, everything created by God is what? Good. So to God, things may not seem good, but they are good to the Creator. So don't tell anybody that this stuff ain't good. You know what good is for you. You know what order looks like for you. You know what a fruitful life looks like for you. And you know, more than anything, what makes you come alive. So work. Work for the good life. It's not money. It's not power. It's not fame. Whatever those three things look like to you will take you from disorder to chaos, and it'll take you from nothing to something. And not just something, but something special and marvelous and miraculous. Rose gets mad at me because I push for a good life. Like, if people are messed up, I don't want them near me. Like, I still got stuff with my mom and my sister. They're not really Christians. They don't like to live like we live. So, you know, I love you, but I got to put you over here. Because what I'm building here with my children is different. And it's not for everybody, even the people closest to me, which is a shame, but doesn't make it any less true. I encourage you all to ask yourself those questions. Find out what makes you come alive. Find out what makes you fruitful. What fruitful looks like to you. And what does order look like? Where can order be placed in your life? Because if those three things are in harmony, then something special happens. Let's pray. Lord, we want you to show us what good looks like for each of us. Our health may not be perfect, but life can be good. We may not have all the money that we need, but life is still good. We may not have the power that we seek, but life is good. And some people are separated from us, but life can still be good. So as the deer pants for streams of water, as the thirsty deer looks to be satisfied, give us the same fortitude, the same desire, the same energy to go after what's good. So that even when our faith is shaken, even when the times get rough, we're still holding on to God's unchanging hand, and we can still see the beauty instead of the tragedy of life. Lord, we want to walk with you. And we want to prioritize life with you. So help us. Help us to realize that we have the power to create. And remind each and every one of us under this steeple that creation was a partnership. Let us make humanity. So sometimes creation comes with partnering with people. But even though people are difficult to partner with, life can still be good. And the results of our work can still be good. So Lord, we pray that this church is good. That we all play a role in creation. And that we can look at our individual lives and chip away all the things that are unnecessary so that what's left can be beautiful. Bless us and keep us close to you, because that is truly our desire. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.